Hi, everyone. For those that don't know me, I'm Jacob Zikusoka. When someone talks about being godly in the workplace, what comes to mind to you? I'm going to make this very interactive. I don't believe in talking down at you because I'm here to learn as well. Yeah. Do we have any volunteers? Yes. Pardon? Yes, you need them. So when I ask a question and you volunteer, please walk to the front. I'll get a mic. Pardon? Okay, great, thank you. So you can, for now, you can use this. What's your understanding of... Okay. We shall wait. Can you talk? Okay, you can talk.
Yeah, so some people would presume that being a godly person in the workplace is, you know, being deep in your Bible. Let's say a receptionist, and then someone comes, you're deep in your Bible, and you only look up to take their money or that sort of thing. But that's okay. not necessarily. I mean, you should read your Bible in between intervals. But I think being a godly man is, like they said, representing God. The first speaker talked about the values, God's values, representing them in the workplace. His values of honesty, hard work, diligence. Most workplaces are really hotbeds of gossip. It's so easy to want to know and, you know, add salt to, especially when someone is falling down. So that's a really testing case for even the most godly people. So I think it's mostly about bearing fruit, godly fruit. That's my interpretation of a godly man
or woman. A clap for Dalla. My next question is, why is it you work? What motivates you to work? Any volunteers? Please come forward. I need two volunteers for this one. Any other volunteers? Why do you work? What wakes you up in the morning?
I wake up in the morning and go to work to take care for my family and to glorify God.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm thinking that we go for work because in the first place, the first man on earth, Adam, God put him in the garden to till it, to take care of it. And when you take care of something, that is responsibility and that is work. That's how I understand it.
Okay. A clap for Pradeep. It's very important, you know, we get the basics right. Yeah, you must understand why we go to work in the first place. Because if you don't understand why we go to work, then whatever else we say doesn't make sense. Yeah? The natural thing for us as men is, it just comes second nature to us, is to provide. Yeah, think about it. Yeah? When you graduate from school, when you leave school, when you start work, the first thing people will tell you is what? You know, you can now provide for a family, get married because, you know, you have a job. It's about provision. And that's part of our calling as men. But work is sacred as far as the book is concerned. Work is sacred. Yeah. And God would want us to look at work as sacred, not as a place where we get our paychecks from. Yeah. So your paradigm has to shift from paycheck to calling. Yeah. Picture this. A farmer goes to the garden, and they plant maize. Yeah, they harvest the maize, they sell the maize. Then someone actually processes the maize into flour. Then another person will sell it to the eventual user, and someone will make maize meal out of it. Yeah, it's a whole process, right? Yeah, but in a sense, God is actually working through the farmer to provide for someone. Yeah. It's not that the farmer is under providing for the person. Yeah. So in a real sense, God uses us as individuals to help him accomplish his purpose. And that's why he takes us to the workplace, so we can partner with him to accomplish his purposes. So it's really important that you understand where work falls in the scheme, in the whole scheme, and what God would want us to look at work as. Otherwise, you miss it all if you don't understand that basic. A question that I want you guys to think about. We don't think about it much, yeah, because we're Christians. We've been brought up to be Christians. We talk Christian language. We read the Bible and all. But do you really believe the Bible? Show of hands, do you believe the Bible? Okay, down. Do you really, really believe the Bible? Okay, put your hands down. Do you believe the characters that, you know, the earlier speakers were talking about actually lived and walked this earth? You know, it's so easy. It seems like the obvious thing to say is like, Jacob, how can you even suggest that? You know, that's very offensive. You know, we are Christians. But your very walk as a man of faith, because that's what you are, is based on God's word. If you don't believe wholly, 100%, that God's word is true, nothing else matters. You have to believe that actually Jonah lived. You have to believe that the Israelites crossed the Red Sea. It sounds sometimes, you know, I've been to those lands, the biblical lands, and I've seen, yeah, with my eyes, you know, part of, you know, the civilization of the time. I've seen, you know, the monuments and all that. I've seen where Paul walked in the Roman Empire and all these places. And, you know, you can see them online when you, if you had the time to check. But you have to understand and believe that actually what is written in the Bible is true. Because some of those Bible stories are actually way off. Yeah, way off. Yeah, Jesus feeds how many men? Yeah, 5,000 men. How many, you know, altogether it might have been about what, 15,000, 20,000 people? Yeah, with women and children included. Usually women are more than men in any setting. And children even more. Yeah. So you have to believe that the Bible is true. Yeah. If you don't believe that, then, you know, you need to work on that. Because in the workplace is where you meet reality, so to speak. If you work in a church setting, it's so easy because you walk in, everyone believes what you believe, and, you know, you never have to contend with any contradictions. But in the workplace, I'll give an example for me. Yeah, my best customers are Hindu believers. Yeah, yesterday I walked into my customer's factory, and guess what? They have those small gods in the corner. And this man is very prosperous. Yeah, and I'm thinking, God, your children are struggling. Yeah. People are struggling, and this man is building factory after factory. And those are his gods. And he's bold enough to tell me, to show me a calendar and say, Jacob, March was a very good month for me. You know why? He opens the calendar to March. This God, the God of March, he did it for me. That is the marketplace where you work. I don't know about where you work, but that's a real marketplace. People don't believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They don't believe in the God you think so highly of. And they're actually prospering. It's a contradiction, they're prospering. It's Habakkuk having that, you know, going up that tower and looking down and saying, God, how can it be that your children are suffering and these heathen are prospering? It was a burden on his heart. But that book of Habakkuk ends on a positive note. He says, until I understood their end. Yeah, so we are in the world, but not of this world. And here, this God wants us to actually be successful in this world by his standard. And the definition of success, as far as God is concerned, is very different from the world's definition. Very different. My scripture reference is from the book of Genesis. Any takers on who you think was such a great employee in the Bible, in the book of Genesis? Pardon? Joseph, yes, thank you. So I'm going to ask for three men. Please indulge me. I don't want to be up here by myself. So it's okay for you to come up, right? We'll read Genesis 41:38. Joseph. Ah, Nate. Thank you. There. Yes. And 39:8.
Genesis 41:38. I'm reading from the ESV.
Yeah.
And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find a man like this, in whom is the Spirit of God?"
Yeah, go ahead.
Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command."
Okay. And then go to 39 verse 8.
39 verse 8 says, Joseph refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, Because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?"
And then read Colossians 3:23. And I'll ask, as he reads Colossians, read it slowly, enunciate the words, yeah? Prolong the words. Right. Please close your eyes and listen to this last verse. This is very unorthodox, but please do it. It's very important to do it. And I'm watching you because my eyes are open.
Should I close mine as well?
No. You have to open your eyes, though.
Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men.
Thank you. Thank you, Ned. So the principle is simple. When you're talking about the workplace, the principle is that God is always at work. You agree with me, right? God is always at work in our world. And it's very hard to understand that God is at work when you hear of bombs. You know, sometimes I wonder, God, why couldn't you have stopped that? Aren't you in charge? Is the enemy, you know, has the enemy overrun the plan? Has the plan failed? Yeah. But the fact of the matter is that God is still in charge of this world. And in the workplace, more than any other place, you need to understand that God is at work. And success is seeing where God is at work and joining him there. The principle is God is always at work. How do you succeed? Seeing what God is doing and joining him there. Don't we ordinarily do the opposite? Yeah, we start our thing here and then invite God in. Right? But the principle is that success is only found when you discover where God is at work, then join in there. That is God's design for the workplace, that we discover where he is at work and then join in there. We don't invite God in. Yeah, you've had prayers. People pray, "Lord, we invite you." No. That's wrong. That's religion. You don't invite God in. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. Yeah, you just have to acknowledge his presence. So you say, "God, we thank you that you're in this place." So in your workplace, however Hellenistic it is, yeah, you may have the God, you may be working in a place like the factory I visited yesterday. God is still there. In the worst places, God is still there. Yeah, Christian talked about Daniel working in Babylon. Babylon was a heathen society. Yeah, God's everywhere. Even Daniel's name was changed. Exactly. That's a god in the land. All the three Hebrew boys they were named after gods, the gods of Babylon. Yeah, but God was still present. Yeah. So many times, you know, we despair and think, how can God be working in this place? How can I represent God? when all this is happening. But when you understand that actually God is present, that changes everything. God is waiting for us to acknowledge him in the workplace. God is waiting for us to recognize his presence, and then he will move in to change situations. So, in essence, the workplace is an opportunity for us to experience God, right? And how do you experience God in the workplace? I liked what Dallas said. You don't go there, reading. He said you read the Bible at intervals. Yeah? The workplace actually, many times is the place where you shouldn't even be reading the Bible. Because people are more concerned about who you are, your conduct, than what you profess. Saint Augustine, a Bible, a Catholic saint, said, preach at all times, and if necessary, use words. So your life should be speaking the message of the gospel. You don't have to speak it for people to actually know that you're a believer. They should actually see it in your life. Because that's how change comes, when people actually see Christ in you, not you professing Christ. Because many people do that. So what's the difference? The difference is you showing by your example that you're a follower of Christ. Yeah. So God is looking for authentic believers in the workplace. Yeah, not people that just talk Bible stuff and Bible language. Yeah. And that doesn't mean you walk around looking up. That means you don't walk around looking up and despising everyone because they're going to hell. Yeah. People are won over by love. People are won over by our concern for them. And that's what Christ does. Yeah. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. For God so loved. Love changes everything. And in the workplace more than any other place, when you exhibit love, when you show concern, your colleague has lost more than someone is hurting, is in hospital, and you show concern, that is Christ being lived out in your life. Not you just professing. Do you bring the presence of God to your workplace? Think about it. And many times, like I said earlier, our focus is so much on the paycheck. But, your paycheck is just a fringe benefit. Who can tell me anywhere in the Bible where it says, God uses our jobs to actually pay for us, to sustain us? We are called to work through, but God says he shall supply for our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So when you go to work, the paycheck is just a fringe benefit. And primarily, God will provide for you through the workplace. But don't mix things up. Don't focus on the paycheck and you miss the calling that God has for you. Because the calling of God goes way, way beyond the paycheck. Yeah. And God is also interested in our success. But God is more interested in your character than your success. Because your character is what speaks of him. Your character is what qualifies you for the next level that God will take you to. Yeah. Character determines assignment. God will never give you any assignment if your character is still small. Yeah. And that's why many Christians will testify that they've been through hardship in the workplace. Because out of hardship is where character is built. And if God can trust you, if God can change your character, mold your character into his image, then he can trust you with a big assignment. So it's very important, we get our basics right. Yeah? So our big challenge as Christians in the workplace is the world's agenda versus God's agenda. If we pattern our lives and our workplace experiences in line with what the world's goals and objectives are, many times we will miss what God actually wants. You could be the best CEO, you could be the best businessman, you could be an expert in your field, and you miss it. Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Yeah, it's so easy to miss God's mark unless you acknowledge him, unless you put him, you know why he's called you to be in this place. Yeah. So in a very real sense, we need to be very purposeful where we are. I've been working for the last 21 years. Yeah, I worked even through university and all. And I always had, I wanted to get into ministry. And every opportunity for ministry got blocked. That really puzzled me, because as far as I was concerned, I was doing the right thing. You know, God would want me to be in ministry, you know, to his people. And God told me, no, I want you to be in the business world. That then was very confusing for me, because I thought ministry was more noble than business. Yeah. And some churches sadly have promoted that actually ministry is more important than any other work. Forgetting that actually all work is ministry to God. And so I enter into the workplace, and God gave me a measure of success. You know, every place I went to, I always performed well, and you know, I was given promotions, I was given, you know. And I went on, and at some point I sensed God telling me, you know what, you need to start this business. And so I get into business. Yeah. But as I went on, God revealed himself more and more to me. I sense my calling is not really about a paycheck. Yeah. Today, from scratch, I run a, you know, with all humility, I run a $1 million business. Yeah. But if you ask me now compared to then, if you ask me, Buni Pakusent, I would have had more money when I was employed than now. Why? Because I understand things very differently than then. Yeah. Because I understand that God, this is God's thing. Yeah. That it wouldn't get this big is something I never imagined possible. Yeah. But God has brought it to this level. Yeah. And it's not about me. Yeah. It's about God. It's about ministry. It's about supporting his causes and what is dear to his heart. Yeah. And that's what God would want us to be about. Yeah. Not focus on your small thing and say, you know, this one provides for my kids, secures my, you know, my family, you know, builds me a little house that I go to, you know, and, you know, a farm that I'll retire to. Yeah. That is the normal way of thinking. God is saying, look, lay it before me. Yeah, I'll use this thing for my glory. I'll use this for my glory. And in a real sense, again, when you commit your vocation, your workplace to God, yeah, like I told you, when I was still employed, I was, I just found favor, you know. I always got raises every 6 months. I got promoted. Why? Because I had a different spirit, yeah. Many times as Christians, we walk into a place, you know, you're the one with the baddest attitude. You show up late, yeah. Any extra assignments, you close off that. You say, no, it's 5 o'clock. I have to go home. Yeah. And the world succeeds because they, you know, they understand the principles in the workplace. They will stay longer. They will do their best. You know, they will dress right. They will like Samuel. You know, every time they are called, they will go. Yeah. And for you, you're quoting your contract. It's not in the contract. Yeah. And you miss it. Very easily miss it. Yeah. And little wonder we have so little influence in the workplace as Christians. So little influence. Coupled with that, we are powerless because we're not reading the word. And actually, we don't believe the word. Because if we believe the word, if you knew how valuable the Bible is, if you knew how valuable the word of God is, you'd spend a lot of time in the Word. Yeah, I've read so many self-help books. I've read so many, business books. None of them compares with the Bible. None of them compares with the Bible. Any bestseller you have read, yeah, in the last, for your lifetime, is based on the Bible. talk about love, talk about business, talk about politics. It's in the Bible. Yeah. But we are so powerless because we do not spend time in the Bible. So, first thing, believe that God's word is true. Two, apply God's word. Three, trust God for increase. Trust God for to use you in the workplace. Because God actually is happy to do that. That's his calling for your life. But if your job is commensurate with your paycheck, if the two go hand in hand, when you see the job, you see a paycheck, then you miss it. Then you miss it. For I have some very questions to ask. Yeah, if you're an employee, like I said, do you get to work on time? Do you take home paper clips and reams of paper, or even sheets of paper that belong to the office? Those are very simple questions, but think about them. Are you one of those that do just enough not to be fired? You know, you can do just enough not to be fired. And I see them because I'm an employer. Someone does just enough not to be fired. Yeah. You're looking for a reason to fire them. And, they are really on the borderline. You cannot fire them because they're doing what they're supposed to do. Nothing exceptional, just there. Are you one of those people? Are you the peacekeeper? Are you the pacifier at your workplace? Or are you one of the trouble rousers? For the businessman, anyone running an organization, are you giving to Caesar what belongs to Caesar? Do you pay your taxes? The gospel of the kingdom is very simple. Remember when John the Baptist was baptizing people? John the Baptist was Jesus' forerunner and is baptizing people. And people ask him, John, what shall we do to receive the kingdom of God? What does he tell them? If you have two shirts, give away one. If you owe, basic stuff. And that's why the kingdom of God is. We complicate it. Yeah. So in the workplace, it's that simple. It's, are you trusting God? When you come up with your strategy and all that, do you actually give it to God and say, God, this is what you're thinking, but what is your plan? What is it you'd have me do? Have you settled for crumbs? Are you crying like everyone else, saying, oh, the economy is bad and all this? You're prophesying to your business when you start talking about the economy. Because if your business is committed to God, the economy doesn't, economy is the kingdom economy. It's not really what you see out there. Yeah. How do you explain that Isaac, would go and dig up wells, and find water? These were pastoralists and water was very important. And you'd find water and, these guys would come and close that well and you'd go and, dig another hole and there would be water. How do you explain that? Because we serve a God who is who does way beyond what the world systems provide. Yeah. But then again, he wouldn't want us to focus on that because his measure of success is not our measure of success. His measure of success is not the achievement that the world talks about. Yeah. It's about extending his kingdom. It's about being a witness in the workplace. It's about being bringing change to his world through the resources he gives you. So as you go up, the higher you go up, the more responsibility God has placed on your life and on your calling. So looking at the life of Joseph, I get so humbled. Joseph is taken into slavery at a very young age, at 17. He goes to serve Pharaoh. Young boy, his future is really bleak. What did he do different while he was in slavery? I can imagine, you know, his peers, the guys that he used to serve with, the other slaves. You know, they're not mentioned in the Bible, but of course there were other slaves in Potiphar's household. What is it that set Joseph apart from the rest? Any takers? Just mention anything that Joseph did differently. Yes. He was praying to God. Obviously praying. He was focused. Somebody mentioned focused. Focused on God's business. That's a bit ambiguous. How was he focused on God's? Okay. He focused on executing what God's expectation on his life. He fulfilled it by, okay? Yes? Pardon? He allowed God to be the center of his life. Good one. Yes, Dala? Spirit of excellence, like you read. Yeah. Yes. 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 Exactly. Exactly. He put God first. Yes. Took him first. Yes. Yes, Derek. Faithfulness and character. Yes, those are prime to it. He was diligent. I mean, you can go on and on. Yes, one final one. Integrity. And integrity is really... Yes, Nasa. Good one. Good one. I think if all of us were very honest, you know, would agree to that. I don't know about you, but many times I sometimes feel a loser. Who feels a loser like me sometimes? Yeah? Part of what I do, I mean, like, I don't cut corners. Now, our business operates in Kenya and Uganda, and in these two countries, it's just amazing, you know, the corruption that, you know, you guys complain about corruption here. I wish you could cross to Kenya, you know. I see people, you know, living in both countries, I see people, you know, praising, you know, Kenya and all these things. And I laugh because it's a whole different thing when you're on the ground there. But so many times, you know, we have said, for example, in this season of life, we'll not do any business with the government. Kenya government, Uganda government. Because that means, you know, we'll have to compromise our values. Yeah, there are very few contracts that are given out without, you know, people asking for feedbacks and all that. That is going to cost you, because the biggest spenders in our economies are not individuals or companies or organizations. It's a government. That's the truth. So if you're taking a stand and saying, look, I'm not going to do business with the government because my values will be compromised, you're basically saying, you know, I'll only attain certain growth. You get it? So many times, you know, you know for a fact that if you apply for this contract, you'll get it. But someone is going to ask for a kickback. And many times, you know, you actually apply and then get to the end. And then someone says, now, show me the money. And you're like, no, I don't show the money. And they say, you know what? Bye. Yeah. Meanwhile, you have, you know, all these, you know, needs to take care of and all. And the opportunity was actually there for you. But as a Christian, you've taken a stand and you're walking away from it. You're losing, right? In the workplace. Yeah. In my previous workplace, I used to report I used to work for a Danish company. And every Friday, I had to submit a report to head office in Copenhagen. And my boss, I was in charge of marketing. My boss wanted these figures to look good. So he would tell me, Jacob, now you have to, you know, write. I said, no, we don't do that. Because that's not true. You can guess, you know, he didn't like me very much. But even in that situation, he kept promoting me. But he didn't like me. That is a contradiction, right? He didn't like me, but he kept promoting me. So the favor of God is on you, but the world is against you. Yeah. Because every 15th of the month, I met my target. Yeah. But I wouldn't bend to his standard of, you know, trying to, you know, cook figures for him. It will cost you. Sometimes it will cost you your job. Yeah. You'd rather, what shall you profit a man if you gain the whole world and lose his soul? Is a job worth you losing your soul? So the marketplace is so, it's the real world we live in. Yeah. And it's so easy to come up here on Sunday and say, oh, you know, this is what God, but the real ministry happens between Monday and Friday, or Saturday if you are on Saturday. That's when you actually interface with the world. Yeah. That's where God has placed us. And that's where your testimony will speak loudest. So my challenge to you is stand for what you know is true. Yeah? Stand for what you know is true. We read about Joseph in the Bible, and it sounds like a good story. It's a good story. The guy, oh, then he met Pharaoh, then... No. This was 13 long years. 13 long years of, you know, of waiting. Yeah? He's hoping this one guy, you know, this one guy that he's helped, you know, come out of prison, you know, will help him. The guy goes and forgets him for 2 years. 2 years, the guy is forgotten. Like, hey, Gundia, yeah, peace out. 2 years is forgotten. But God knew, because if Joseph had left prison at that point, he would have just been free. He would have just walked free. God was saying, no, you're supposed to be prime minister. So stick here. Yeah? And how many of us will admit that, you know, many times you're trying to find quick ways out of situations? You're in pain, your things are just not working, and you just want to run. And God is saying, no, I have work for you here. And that's why it's important you're listening to God. Because when you're listening to God, yeah, then you know when your assignment is done. Success, like I said, is, if you never get anything out of this talk, just remember this. Success is seeing where God is at work and doing what? Joining Him. And how do you do that? Listening to God. How do you hear God speak? Through the Bible, reading the Bible, prayer. Many times, you know, you kneel on the floor, you kneel or you're praying or whatever, some of you pocket while you're praying, you know. God will speak to you. Bible, prayer, circumstances. It's raining really hard, you know, hailstorm is falling. I think that's a good sign to say, you know what, don't walk across, right? Don't walk across, you know, just wait until this passes and walk out. That's circumstances. Yeah. And when God speaks, his first thing is not to speak to your situation. God always reveals himself first and foremost. Yeah. He never comes and says, hey, this is the plan. No, God wants you to know him first. Then when he reveals himself to you, then he will reveal his plans to you. That's the pattern he had for the prophets, Moses, and all these people. But if you're so focused on hearing what you want, then you miss it. Because the pattern of God is that he would want for us to hear him speak, reveal himself first, then he speaks to us. That's always God's pattern. And that is applicable in the workplace as well. That's applicable in your business. God is more interested in your character than in making you successful. And he will make you successful, but he will break you down first. He will break you down first. God is not up to, you know, trying to make you feel like a hot shot. Yeah, David becomes king, but how many years did he have, was he on the run before he becomes king? He had been anointed. How many years? How many years is he on the run? Pardon? No. No. Pardon? Now we are guessing, I think. Can I have an answer now? This is not guesswork. Guys, this is not guesswork. Yeah? Yes. 13 years. Thank you. Yeah, he's on the run for 13 years. But he's been anointed king. And he even has, God has broken him down so much that this guy even finds Saul, yeah, in a cave at Adullam. And he could have chopped him off. But he says, you know, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. Of course, people have abused such scriptures. But, you know, David's character is so grounded that he understands, look, it's not about me, it's about God using me. And that's what God would have us be. Developing a character to such an extent that he can pour into us. And the focus will not be on us, but the focus will be on him. So in your walk with God, in your workplace experience, I know many men here, you aspire. How many of you aspire? You're employed, but you aspire to run businesses and all. That's a good aspiration, because as a Christian, when you start a business, then you have the privilege of actually influencing a workplace directly. I've been running this company for 12 years, and every Monday, yeah, both here and we are in Rwanda, we are in in Kenya, we are in we started off in Somalia, that's still struggling, but we're still there. And every Monday we have a prayer meeting. And prayer is religion. You know, you could say people pray everywhere. Yeah. But this is real prayer. People bring real concerns to God. Yeah. And because of my partnership, because of letting this happen, there's a guy not born again at all. I'll give you an example. One time, you know, I'm in the office with him. Late in the night, we're working at about 8. And then he's in the outer office, I'm in my office, and you know, I hear him, his voice going up and up and up. I'm like, okay, what's going on here, you know? And next thing I know, he's walking into my office and says, "Talk to Jacob." I'm thinking, okay, who is this now, you know? And it's his wife. His wife is saying, you know, I'm trying to put things quickly together. His wife has a problem because she thinks he's up to no good, he's in a bar or somewhere. But so I come hard and I say, "Mariam, no, the guy is here, you know, yeah, we're doing some work and all," and you know. And then, you know, the guy is let off. And this guy, during the prayer meetings, he would read the Bible like a preacher. You know how he read the Bible? The guy would hold his Bible like that and look up as he was reading. Yeah? And you'd think this guy is born again, but he's not. And I told him, "John, you've been working with us for the last 5 years. I like you, John, but and I've spoken to you about Jesus, and you know, you just laugh it off. But John, you're going to become because of your association with me, you're going to get born again one day." And he laughs really hard. I tell him, "John, hear this, not just born again, you're going to become a preacher of the word." Like the way you read, the guy laughed so hard. Yeah. Because all his pictures, you know, all he's about is just, you know, he's a child of the world, basically. Today, John is a pastor. Yeah. John is a preacher of the word. John is all these things that I said he would be. That is the influence that's the privilege God gives you as a business owner. So for you who are aspiring to be business owners, you have that privilege of actually influencing the workplace for God. Yeah. And when God gives you an opportunity, please don't forget to. Yeah. Because it's so easy. Yeah. It's so easy to get caught up in the systems of the world. You get in there and people, you know, like Sunday seems so far off. People are saying, you know, "Kati, oh, not one maker, no, you know, sign there, sign here, sign there." And you know, you can do that. Nobody will know. Joseph, nobody, I'm sure, you know, okay, maybe would have known for us who live now. But you know, they could keep it hush hush in the kingdom and nobody knows, you know, Potiphar's wife, you know, has this arrangement with Joseph. You know, he would have lived a comfortable life, no prison, no what, you know, and just died, you know, like an ordinary guy. But God had a bigger purpose for him. And Joseph says, will I do this thing and sin against God? He's not even looking at Potiphar. He's looking at God. Will I do this thing and sin against God? That's the standard we have. So even in your choir dealings, back at your business, back in your workplace, when you're being told to, you know, or being tempted by your flesh is tempting you to cut corners, ask yourself, will I do this thing and sin against God? You know what I've purposed for my life? I'd rather die a pauper with nothing. But I'll glorify God with my life. I tell that God every day. Yeah. Every time I read those stories in the newspapers, you know, both in Kenya and here, I cry out to God and say, God, let it be far from me, because I know it's possible for me to fall. So easy. You know, you read these stories of people. Yeah. It's so easy. It's so easy. So as opposed to you looking at people saying, "How laba onokati, laba fala," it could be you very easily. Very easily, because the heart is desperately wicked, the Bible says. So what happens in the world can happen to you. And that's why we have to commit ourselves to God daily and say, God, have mercy on me. If you know no other prayer, that prayer works. Have mercy on me, Lord. Have mercy on me. I've been married 18 years now. I have 3 girls. And I tell God, yeah. I even cut deals with God. I don't know if he listens or what. Oh, it's just me talking. I said, God, let me live for you. Let me live for you. Yeah. In exchange, may my girls serve you. May my girls be an example in this world. May they change their generation for you because I lived for you. Would you, can we cut that deal, God? And I think God listens to my prayers. God listens to my prayers. Yeah. So it's very painful. Yeah. Walking away from something very lucrative, something that could change, deals that could change us and take us from, you know, from not just $1 million to I don't know what. I could have been there. Yeah. But many times, you know, I drive away, you know, I go home and I'm just feeling such a loser. I even stop by, you know, between work and, you know, my house is the field. I stop by there just to cool off so I don't take my frustrations home. Yeah. But that's the real world we live in. That's the real world we live in. It's tough. And I tell you what, it's not going to get easy. I wish I could say it's going to get easy. Yeah? I think that's where now, you know, this prosperity preachers come in and tell you, oh, you know, when you serve God and, you know. Yeah. No. Yeah? They're about the kingdom of God. Abraham, yeah? Our father in the faith. You know what the Bible says about Abraham? It says Abraham built altars and pitched tents. He built altars and pitched tents. Yeah. An altar is worship to God. That was more important for him. Yeah. And then put up tents which are temporary. Altars were permanent. Yeah. What do we do today? The reverse. We are building our tents and pitching altars. Is that what your life is about? Far be it from me. I've purposed in my life, and God help me. I pray with it. I say, God help me, because I have this resolve, but I could lose it any time. Yeah. You should see me. I pray desperately because I need God. Yeah. I've seen a measure of I've seen loss, but I've also seen a measure of success in terms of the world. Yeah, I've seen a measure of success. Yeah, and yet God tells me, you know what? That is nothing. Completely, that's nothing. Because I could just take it just like that. You could wake up and it's all gone. One of my friends, you know, I don't know if you see this. Do you have Urban Bites here? There's the small packets of, it's a popular brand in Kenya. I'm surprised they're not on this market. Very successful friend of mine, you know, in Nairobi. When did I leave Nairobi? Last week. His factory went up in fire. The whole factory. He's Asian. He's not a believer. So I was just thinking, God, this is really a waste, you know. We so bank on these things, and you know, then the next thing you know, it's all gone. Is that what, when all is said and done, you know, if they put fire to your legacy, will your legacy go up in flames? Sadly, that's what it is for many people. That's what it is. I don't have to give you examples. There are many examples from the newspapers this last so many weeks. At the end of it all, it's like, oh, really? So this is what your life was really about. So much for doing all these things. Is that what your life is about? Yeah. So my challenge to you, and I could go on and on, is live for God. Yeah. And when you live for God, the best place to live for God is in the marketplace. Because that's where they need to hear God. Not in church. Everyone is born again in church, for crying out loud. You get it? Everyone is born again. So what difference are you making? Just come high five here, then go do out there. Yeah. Do out there. And how do you do it? Yeah. feast at all times, and if necessary, use what? I'll not go to my Hindu friend and tell him, and he likes me. Those Hindu guys, they like me. Because I connect with them very well. Yeah, I get so surprised in the world. I'm loved. And they know I'm born again. I travel a lot, and many times, you know, I tell people, you know, if my friends back home would see me here, they would just be stumbled properly, because the things that God asks us to do are unique. So these guys love me. They know this guy is born again. And they'll say, Jacob, let's go to the bar. And I'll go to the bar with them. And attend, they'll say, Jacob, we know it's time for you to go back to the hotel room. And we'll go back. They'll hire a taxi to take me back. Because I understand, you know what? I need to get to where they are. Yeah? I need to get to where they are. Yeah? Many of them, the last time I was, I'll share my testimony very briefly again. I was in Spain, yeah, at the end of last year. And my world, which I think is your world, is people actually are heathen. They're not even Catholic. At least if they are Catholic, there would be an understanding that, you know, you believe God. You get it? We may disagree on who Jesus is and, you know, the importance of Mary. They don't even believe in God. You get it? They are heathen. But they know, because this man professes Jesus, he has a clear stand. The initial thing is like, it's a holy roller, let's just push him off. Slowly, you know, they kind of warm up to me. Because I'm not judging them. I love them. You know, I'll even buy gifts for them. You know, I'll laugh with them. And by the, you know, your salvation is not something. Don't take it too serious. Don't take it seriously. But don't take yourself too seriously. Yeah? It's okay to crack a joke. Yeah? Yeah, they'll go to hell if they don't accept Jesus. Yes? But you can still laugh with them. Right? Jesus laughed with people. Yeah, he'd make jokes, you know, every so often. Yeah? Don't take yourself too seriously. The message is important, but don't take yourself too seriously. Yeah? So, I'm in Spain, and this lady who even told me, even before, I didn't even tell her, you know, I didn't tell, I think she must have looked at my, you know, like my social media. I'm active on social media, Facebook or Twitter. And I tweet about Jesus, you know. And sometimes I'm going to meet these guys, I'm like, oh, maybe I should just kind of tone it down so they can, you know, kind of forget. Then, you know, when I come back, I can resume. You know those temptations, eh? But I'm like, no, but this is who I am. This is who I am. Without Jesus, I'm not me. You get it? Take away Jesus, I'm useless. Yeah, I'm useless without Jesus. So I'm like, there, you know. And so, we at an award ceremony, and guess what? I'm winning an award. I'm member of the year. This is like a 398 member organization. I'm member of the year. Yeah? And so they're serving all these beers, all these wines. I don't drink wine. And, you know, the Christians who drink wine, I'm not, you know, it's okay, but I don't drink as a, you know, as a family, we don't do. So I'm there with them, you know, and they're drinking. They're all, and I'm sitting at the table with them drinking my water, my juice, and all that. And this lady says, Jacob, yeah, there's something unique about you. I'm like, oh God, now here we go, here we go, here we go. Then another guy from Turkey says, yeah, this guy, there's something unique about you. Yeah? And so I'm thinking, okay, what are they going to say? And the lady says, you know, that Jesus you talk about, you are that Jesus to me. Yeah? I'm like, God, what is this? You're that Jesus to me. I'm like, yes, God, thank you. That kingdom has come. Your kingdom has come in this place. Yeah. That's what God wants us to be about. That when others see you, they joy in you. Yeah. I'm so joyful. My daughter's always saying, Daddy, you're always happy. Don't you become sad? Yeah. Because when I'm sad, I'm not anywhere near them. I'll go to my field and sit alone. Yeah. Yeah. But you're always happy. Yeah. My workmates are always saying, Joko, aren't you bothered? Yeah, in my business, when you make losses, they are big losses. Big. The harder they are, the bigger they fall. Big losses. Yeah. And I go home, I'm laughing with the staff. You guys are like, Jacob, are you? And the managers are all, I'm like, guys, I'm not worried. Why should you be worried? The bag stops at my desk. Why are you more worried than I am? Just go home. God will take care of this. And guess what? I think God must listen. I'm like, what? The guy said that. Angel Gabriel, do something. Angel Michael, do something. That's what God does for us. That's what God does for us. So in closing, I want to encourage you and say, live for God. Make a difference for Him. Yeah, in your workplaces. Yeah, it's not a theological thing. It's the simple things. Walking, be nice to everyone. Good morning, good morning, good morning. When you're leaving, say good night to everyone. Say, how is your child? Say, oh, they had fever. They told you they had fever on Friday, on Monday. Is the child better now? That's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not, you know, is the present day reality. It's not something that will come by and by. No, it's here today. It's with us. That's why Jesus came. So I'll be praying for you, and I encourage you, live for God in the workplace and make a difference for Him.